From the Land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of January 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. A bit later in the program, Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, will join us to take a look at agricultural energies, especially ethanol, and how that fuel could be leading corn consumption in the coming year to an even greater extent than it already does. And then as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Mark Russo at Brisk Pulse in Chicago, all right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this ninth day of January. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
We were thinking that futures might rally a bit on Friday and hoping that would finish out a good first week for the year. It didn't happen. However, they did manage to gain back much of the losses that happened Friday on this Monday. Tell me about what happened for soybeans.
Well, more of the same kind of consolidation up and down when you look at the long-term charts. We've virtually been in a sideways pattern, particularly corn and beans, ever since last July. Soybeans, we're seeing weather concerns in the southern hemisphere. One day we're too dry in an area, the next day a little too wet in some areas, so that's going to continue to keep beans kind of on the edge in through here until we get more towards February to see where we are, as a whole. But a couple things on beans. We're seeing a situation where we're going to have some reports as we go through the week. Brazil, Camova, is going to be out with their production estimates. Ideas are Brazilian bean production could be, in that 102, 103 metric ton level. So we'll see if that materializes. Index fund rebalancing. It's estimated that the funds need to, move around 3,000 to 6,000 contracts of beans here the first part of January. We'll see how that unfolds. Then lastly, probably the most optimistic thing is we're shipping out what we sold. This morning's export inspections report showed that we shipped out over 53 million bushels of beans. For the current marketing year, we're about a little bit ahead of the pace we need. It's up there. It's aggressive. So we got some fairly good usage short term. So it's this combination. There's a lot of moving parts taking place this week here, and it all comes together where we're probably due to retrace a little bit what we gave up here late last week.
You mentioned USDA reports are due out. They come along Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Time. Current USDA carryout for soybeans is 480 million bushels. The trade's guessing something maybe 10 or 12 million bushels lower than that for the final numbers for the season after you build in the crop production report and what the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate will look like for the marketing year. Where do you think that will come in? Do you think 468, 470 is a better number than 480?
I think it's going to be lower. We're looking at about 473. As time goes on, if we some disruptions in the southern hemisphere on shipping some beans out, we could probably see exports remain strong and see that number whittle away a little bit more. But, in order to be super bullish beans, we're just going to have to see carry out, drop, closer to 250 or 300 million bushels. And that's not going to happen with this old crop. So, we'll see what the stocks show. Where we are with that, but I'd say we're probably, when it's all said and done, close to maybe 460, 65 as we move into the summertime window.
And a bit later in this program, we'll hear from Todd Hubbs, University of Illinois agricultural economist, talking about ethanol production. A record-setting week at the end of the last, at the end of last year, that last week, ending December 30th, more than a million barrels a day produced. I think Todd told me there were 24 times last year that that happened. 5.3 billion bushels of corn expected to be used this year for ethanol production. Have you are you of a mind that USDA will revise that number at all this time around?
I don't know if they'll change it a whole lot, but over time, I think that that number is going to stay strong. I think we've probably got another 20 to 25 million bushels to be added to ethanol usage on corn side. We're also drinking. I mean, the whiskey production's up, so moonshine's up. These quart jars are hard to find. So, guys are coming up with creative ways to, encourage demand somewhat. A lot of corn flour's being used also, too. So with these lower prices and this large supply, we are, find some creative ideas to use up this crop.
As we look forward into the rest of this year, what are the things you're most looking, thinking about will change? So we've got all these numbers coming out on Thursday, grain stocks report, the world agricultural supply and demand estimates, which will give us world numbers, and the ending stocks in the United States, or update them all. And then, of course, USDA's final crop production figure for the year on a crop in the United States, which has been a record breaker for both corn and soybeans production and yield wise. Are there things that you think will change very much? This is one, I think, that seems to set the tone, at least until we get till, mid-February, late March, when we finally get some numbers out for expectations as it relates to acreage in the United States.
Yeah, I think you're right on there. I don't see a large interest of running higher or pushing the market lower through here. If you go back and kind of look at the chart, we've just been chugging sideways here since last July. I mean, we had some ups, we had some downs, but I think volatility is going to remain low. If you're an option buyer, I believe you have until mid part of March to get some options bought. As we get into the growing season and see how the acreage mix unfolds, I look for option volatility to pick up as we go into the growing season. But, weather, that'll be a main factor. I think you'll have a big event or a big crowd at the Outlook meeting in Covington there, as Eric sort of projects what this weather forecast will show us here as we move into the first part of the growing season. And that's when, interest will start to pick up. Looking forward in through here, one news item was that South Korea came to terms with U.S. egg negotiations to export eggs to South Korea due to their bird flu situation. They're calling about 28 million birds. And the significance of that is eggs could be a sure thing here for a while, because eggs are at five-year lows. And if we start seeing more demand for eggs, you might not be able to buy those eggs at the cheaper level here at the grocery store. So if there's a way to buy eggs in storm, I'd look at that. The other thing here over the next couple weeks to consider is everybody's looking for a sure trade, sure thing trade. A sure thing trade is postage stamps is going to go up 2 cents. So I go get you for some forever stamps. I get about 2,000 of them. And you'll make 2 cents right away, which is $40 in your pocket, because at the end of the month here, I think postage stamps are going to go up 2 cents, Todd.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking with you not next Monday, but before then, because you're listed for Commodity Week, along with Matt Bennett this week, and Mike Zuzlow, and our special guest, Arlen Suderman and F.C. Stone. So looking forward to talking with you on USDA Report Thursday afternoon.
Very good.
That, of course, is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, members of the American Farm Bureau Federation are meeting this week and crafting their policy recommendations for Congress. Michael Clements has more from Phoenix, Arizona.
AFBF Executive Director of Public Policy Dale Moore explains the process.
The states have sent their national-level policies in, so that this coming Tuesday, our grassroots delegates again will take a look at what they collectively from all over the nation have worked together to put new policy forward, to change existing policy, perhaps take some policy out, But then from that process, that gives us clear direction, opportunity to get back to Washington and go to work.
With the new Congress in place, he says lawmakers on Capitol Hill are already working on issues that are top priorities for Farm Bureau members, like regulatory reform.
Putting in some procedures that bring in all of these agencies that somehow seem to take wherever the law is and start moving their peg just out a little farther and a little farther each year.
As the new administration takes over in Washington, D.C., he says AFBF will be ready to work with the administration.
We're looking forward to that opportunity to lay in front of them. What are the things that they need to be working on? You start going down those lists and encouraging the new guys to come in, take every opportunity, use every authority they have to shut down regulations that are basically hemming us in.
Regulations farmers and ranchers have been discussing for several months at the county level, says the American Farm Bureau Federation's Executive Director of Public Policy, Dale Moore. On that regulatory note, President-elect Trump's pick for EPA Chief Scott Pruitt reassured Midwest Farm State U.S. senators he will follow the law on renewable fuels, waters of the U.S., and other key issues for agriculture. Pruitt assured the senators from biofuel-producing states he will support not just the renewable fuel standard, key for the ethanol industry, but the rule of law that underpins so much of what EPA does that impacts agriculture. WOTUS, sort of the waters of the U.S. rule, may be a very good example. It would expand EPA's control of waters on and off the farm. It's tied up in the courts at the moment. However, U.S. Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa has stressed the importance of following the law.
There's one thing that's very key. I don't want somebody in EPA that's going to continue the illegal and ultra-various standards that are set up by this administration not following the law. And we've got positive comment that the law is going to be followed. That's very, very important.
Pruitt, as Oklahoma Attorney General, joined other state counterparts to sue EPA over WOTUS and, if confirmed to head the agency, would back Trump's pro-ethanol, pro-jobs agenda. Grassley says he'll wait till after Pruitt's confirmation hearings to decide if he'll support the nominee, but so far Grassley says he hasn't heard anything that would discourage him from voting for Scott Pruitt. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. You can find us online and listen to us anytime you'd like on demand on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. In the NPR One app, search for the Closing Market Report. Same thing for iTunes, Stitcher, and in the Android Google Play Store. The Closing Market Report, a daily look at what's been happening in the agricultural markets and weather across the planet. Now up next, you know, ethanol production in the United States ended the year on a record-setting note. I'll have more on how it could mean an even bigger number for the corn-based fuel in 2017. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Thanks, Todd, for being with us. You've written for the Weekly Outlook. Look forward, really, into the rest of the marketing year and what USDA's World Agricultural Supply demand estimates might have to say about ethanol usage based on what's been happening recently. So the last week of December must have been a really good week for the consumption of corn for ethanol production.
It was. The whole month of December, U.S. ethanol industry produced a lot of ethanol. They exceeded 1 million barrels per day twice. I think the overall average for the month is going to be above 1 million barrels per day. When we look back through the first part of the marketing year, ethanol exports and crush rate from corn has been tremendous. The 5.3 billion bushels that WASDE's forecasting, there's a distinct possibility if we keep up at the rate we're currently at, that will be exceeded this marketing year.
And then you've got gasoline consumption that's been higher too.
The EIA short-term energy outlook moving to 2017 has forecast gasoline consumption to be higher. 2016 gasoline consumption turned out to be higher than what they forecast last year. The average price for retail gasoline was $2.14 in 2016, $2.14 a gallon. And they've forecast $2.30 a gallon for next year, and despite the increase in price, we're looking at 143.6 billion gallons for 2017, which is up over the 142.72 billion that we consumed in 2016. You know, with the mandatory blend requirements, ethanol production's been strong, not just for gasoline consumption, but for the export market, which has been quite impressive so far.
In addition to this, there are the higher blends that work into the mix, E15 and E85, too.
In the last release of renewable fuel standard, the EPA upped what they thought was reasonable for E15 and E85 production in 2017. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out, but they say it's reasonable to do. They're looking at 107 million gallons of E15, ethanol for E15, and 204 million gallons for E85 blend, which is at the 74% rate, of course. All the numbers, if you look at what Energy Information Agency projected for 2017 for weekly ethanol production, a million barrels a day, what EPA says is reasonable for the ethanol industry to produce in 2017. We're looking at a really strong year for ethanol producers in the United States, and in turn, a lot of corn use.
Yeah, so you're suggesting that maybe production range of 455 to 460 million bushels per month for corn. So that gives us a really big number.
I'd say 450 to 460 in December, based on the ethanol production levels. I don't think that's going to continue per se, but when we look at how much ethanol is being produced, it's an impressive feat by the U.S. ethanol industry. They surpassed 1 million gallons a day average weekly 24 times this year. They're really turning out some ethanol and in turn crushing a lot of corn. Through the first 3 months of the marketing year, we've crushed 1.34 billion bushels of corn for fuel alcohol. At that pace, we're well above, we'll be like 5.37, 5.4 billion bushels of corn for ethanol use in 2016-17 marketing year. Hopefully that can continue for our corn farmers. Through December, it has. And I expect the big number to come out in the next grain crush report for December fuel alcohol use. Projecting forward, with higher gasoline consumption, strong ethanol exports, the use of corn for fuel alcohol is going to be pretty strong in the 2016-17 marketing year, you know, providing hopefully some support for corn prices.
That's Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. We're joined by Amy Sage. Thanks for being with us, Amy.
My pleasure.
So we just heard Todd Hubbs from the U of I talk about strong ethanol production at the end of the year. The idea that that probably could stay strong for the rest of the marketing year, maybe enough that it would raise the amount that USDA is looking to put into that category under the WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Not by a lot, but maybe, you know, I don't know, 10 or 25 million bushels, something, so you'd go from, 75 to 100 million bushels, so you'd go from 5.4. What do you think the possibilities are?
Well, I guess based on what we've been seeing, and obviously we don't have one of our ethanol plants here, but we do have several to the east, I guess that would be a realistic prediction as far as our analysis goes for Thursday.
What do you think about cash basis here in our part of the world for corn?
So really has been pretty steady. I've seen some improvements here over the course of the past week in corn. Nothing terribly thrilling today, a little bit slow from a rail market on our end today, but have seen some improvements here lately. And given the crop size, I guess not looking for anything huge over the course of the Jan, Feb, March, but as far as things are going so far, I guess I wouldn't anticipate that weakening anytime in the relatively near future. Farmers still is slow to sell, and we're now offering free DP on a space allows basis. So not a lot of encouragement of farmers selling anyways in the Champaign area. So as long as we don't get flooded with sales and have to ship rail, I guess I would assume that we would stay steady here.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
Thanks, Todd.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. Mark Russo now joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Thanks for being with us, Mark. Hey, it looks like it's going to get warmer. It actually already is. Feels much better than it did over the weekend, I got to say.
Yeah, certainly, Todd. We saw the influence of Siberian air late last week and over the upcoming weekend here in the U.S. We also saw it overseas in areas of Eastern Europe and Russia on their winter wheat belt. I guess it's not out of the question that some of the, especially more so here in the U.S., that there's some areas of winter wheat that did not have protective snow cover. There could have been some issues, more so like in the northern plains, but even a few pockets in the Midwest that didn't have any protective snow, there may have been some issues. But that risk now is coming to a close as, yeah, temperatures are warming up quite quickly here, and the overall pattern across North America is going to feature a retreat of Arctic air. And as we look out ahead for the next couple of weeks, actually by the end of this week, temperatures well above normal across the entire central and eastern U.S., including in that is the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, including that here is the Midwest corn belt, and that looks to persist through the end of next week. And we feel actually beyond this time frame too. The latter part of January looks also to be biased warmer than normal here.
Yeah, turn your attention to South America. There has been some rainfall there. There have been some pretty warm temperatures depending on where you were. Anything that we need to be worried about? I see Paraguay is going to be hot again, but that's fairly usual.
Yeah, we do not have any kind of major concerns at the present time. And you know, really the one area where at least you have a large spatial extent of anomalous weather condition, that's northeastern Brazil, where rainfall has been below normal over the past 30 days. In fact, a few pockets have received less than 25% of normal rainfall. So that's been the focus of attention here on rainfall prospects. And we see the pattern improving as we go through the next couple of weeks across that region. As the overall pattern changes across South America, we see improvement in rain in Brazil, especially northeastern Brazil, and then some of these wetter pockets in central Argentina we see improving too as the pattern turns less active there. So all in all, we do not see any red flags as we go through the remainder of January across South America.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We do appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is from Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Helps us wrap up this January 9th edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.